Hello, everyone. Welcome back for another visit to the Awesome Village. My name is Greg, and joining me is
Ryan,
John,
Glenn.
So, what did you guys do this the past couple of weeks since we've been New Yearing and Awesome Villaging and Villaging of the Year?
Not a whole lot. Enjoying this roller coaster weather that we're having.
It's been pretty weird.
And it's king cake season.
Yeah, it's a big thing down here.
At work. We've been having the king cake trend happening.
Did you get the baby?
I've not gotten the baby yet. I'm very canny. I stand to the side. Once the baby is discovered, then I make my move. Hopefully that there's
cheap
some left.
Motherfucker.
Damn right. I got a house note to pay. I'm down.
Yeah, you bought a house.
I did buy a house.
Felicity.
So when Clara comes, I have the feeling the same things that I have. Was explaining this to Glenn. Whenever kids come into the house, we have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade machine in the back room. And I didn't have the – we hadn't unpacked the power cord yet, when we had Josiah's little party. And so, the kids went to the back. It was just kind of people flirting in and out. And some kids would come, and they'd go to the back and be like, what is this? They'd be playing. And it occurred to me that, kids don't know what those machines are.
You got to use your hands.
It's a baby's toy.
Yeah, I think once they're of age where they go to bowling alleys, I feel like that's probably where their first – nowadays.
Yeah, or like a Dave and Buster's or something. But even the machines are completely different.
Yeah, that's true. The Dave and Buster's machines are much more elaborate. They're like not the baby's toys. Yeah, that's right.
So it was very funny. So yeah, Glenn, Sandra, and Felicity came over, and she had a ball playing Turtles.
She talked about it the entire next day.
She was asking
when we were going back to Uncle Greg's house so she could play more games.
She's welcome to come whenever. We fired up the little arcade box and played some retro games. Right. She went to the NES and chose Adventure Island. Glenn was a proud papa.
Yeah.
Clara wants me to show her how to play Super Mario Brothers because we got her a Happy Meal the other day and she got a Donkey Kong toy, I guess in preparation of the movie coming out.
Yeah. Felicity, she wanted to play more video games and I have the little Super Nintendo emulator, so we were playing Super Mario Land. That's the one that's on there. She wasn't ready for F-Zero yet.
I wasn't ready for F-Zero when I first played it.
What about Street Fighter?
Yeah. That's right. Chumley.
I've been playing the Dreamcast version of Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and I'm trying to unlock the different fighters. And I got pissed because I kept going in. And it does that thing where it cycles between three of them until you restart the game. And my choices were Roll, Wolverine or Omega Red, and I'm like, I want none of these. It was very bad.
Uh-huh.
But back to king cakes. So we have this thing at work where people are bringing king cakes in. Now, this one girl cut a piece, and the baby was revealed, and she said that doesn't count.
Cesarean.
Pretty much that it doesn't count, and she doesn't have to buy the next
pretty
king
much
cake.
Cut where the baby was.
No. It basically the baby fell out of the she was cutting everything. The baby fell out onto
the knife?
Onto the box.
Oh.
Hold on.
But was the baby in the piece that she cut out?
Yeah.
Or was it in the piece that was
still
that's
left? The thing. It's up for debate because basically...
Well, if she says it fell, that means she picked up the piece and the baby fell out of her piece. So she got the baby.
I call bullshit on her.
No, I mean, unless she
many of us have.
I mean, unless she cut right into the baby.
Like on the baby and she could see the... Or if you cut it
like
right
King
where...
Like King Solomon?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or if you cut it right where, the baby's exposed and just you could see it, that I can maybe see that. But if you picked it up and it fell...
That's your piece. That's a good rule.
If the baby's cut in half, though, then you have to split the next king cake.
Now, what if you cut the piece and the baby is visible in the upcoming piece?
You just don't
take
that piece.
Yep.
That's kind of what I said too, but they've now firmly established the rule that if you cut it and exposes the baby, even that you've considered the person that
I don't necessarily agree with that.
I don't agree with that either.
What if you're cutting a slice to the left and the baby's in the right side of the king cake?
Or if you're cutting
you didn't take multiple slices
from people. Yeah, it's open to interpretation.
Well, so my girlfriend went and got one of the a king cakes, not from Manny Randazzo's, but I guess it's the woman version, the Norma Randazzo or something.
Norma.
It's a second version of Randazzo's, but
I think they had a big divorce thing.
Whatever.
And, yeah.
But they split the recipes, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, we got one from them, and shockingly, there were two babies, which I consider a health hazard because once you get the first one, you're thinking I don't have to worry about the baby.
You're
so
off your guard.
You let your guard down. But sure enough, there was another one in there.
Well, what do you think about the trend too? I don't know if we talked about this before, but there are certain king cakes because of the safety hazard. The baby's on the outside.
That's fine. You just the first person who opens it, you put it in there. I mean, whoever bought it really should put it in.
But it's
there.
A king cake. Like, you expect that it's going to be. I don't get it. Like well, so if you're doing that anyway.
If you're shipping it somewhere to someone that's not familiar with the practice, I can kind of see
it. I'm fine with it as long as the person who buys it should put it somewhere. And I mean, in all honesty, unless. I'm fine with them knowing because they just bought one. So,
and there's a thing in France where there's a queen's cake, and there's a jewel they have in the middle of it, and they don't give a fuck. You bite, break a tooth.
The French are stupid.
Yeah,
you know, fucking queen cake.
He's like Paulie from Rocky. Ice is stupid too, Ryan. Right?
They don't have apple.
It can be. It waters down things.
They don't have apple fritter king cakes in France.
No. Oh. Yeah, there you go.
We went to Monroe over the weekend because it was my mother-in-law and father-in-law's 50th wedding anniversary. And my mother-in-law went to a grocery store in Monroe and bought a Gambino's king cake.
Okay.
I was kind of surprised that they had that up there.
We got to have Brennan's makes king cakes, apparently, and there was a Bananas Foster one.
Oh, nice.
Oh. It was baller. What do you guys think, like, in terms of, like, the... Because all the king cake originally was like, bread with sugar on top. As far as the texture consistency goes, I kind of like mine a little doughy.
I mean, they got the ones like the coffee ampersand. That's kind of just like the big cinnamon roll. Those are good. We had one from Antoine's that was really good.
I like the Haido.
It was like a cream cheese.
Haido is very traditional. Antoine's. It's kind of like McKenzie's when they were around. It's pretty much just, you know, it's got the. I'm not a filling kind of guy. I'm
about to ask that question.
I like
too.
The plain. Now, Haido's, I think, if you're going to do a filling one, that's probably the best one because it's just the sugar. It's not covered in icing. So it's probably not overly sweet.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess I'd probably be good with that.
Yeah. Is it Gambino's on the filling? It's not in the middle. It's just on the top of the king cake, I think.
Maybe.
That one was pretty good.
Haydell's is good. There was a local bakery that used to be around here called Once More Cookie that actually did a really good king cake, but they're gone now.
Yeah. Does Joe's Cafe, are they the ones that do the... Is it the Tasty Donut ones or the McKenzie's
maybe.
Ones?
Maybe. I haven't been. I don't know.
Yeah, didn't like McKenzie's just like limited release certain recipes?
I want to say Joe's Cafe has them. But,
have you tried any of the savory king cakes?
What the hell is that?
No.
I had one last year from Bywater Bakery. You can order them.
And it's
a crawfish king cake. And it's like really good bread filled with this like crawfish sauce with crawfish in it. And on top... It looks like it would be the multicolored Mardi Gras sugar, but it's multicolored Mardi Gras Parmesan cheese on the top. And it is fantastic.
That sounds divine.
Yeah, I saw an ad for one, and it was like Boudin.
Yeah.
It was a Boudin king cake.
I didn't try the Boudin one, but the crawfish king cake was amazing.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Memories of king cakes, man.
Yeah. And so, yeah, because it's Mardi Gras time here. Yeah,
it's carnival time. Right?
Yeah, that's right. It certainly is. Yeah, it's a Boudin king cake. I got the looks insane.
If there's one thing Lynn loves, it's Mardi Gras music.
I know it's carnival time. We had this discussion a while back, where it's the problem with Mardi Gras music is there's not many songs.
Yeah, so you just hear the same ones
over and over again.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, it's close to that for Halloween. They've gotten a lot more than that, but like there used to be the Monster Mash was all you fucking heard.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So memories often include revivals of things that we've seen growing up, and there's been a couple of shows that have seen a resurgence. One of which, and I can't wait to hear about this, is Night Court.
That's right. So this is the.
I've been so excited to watch this because I love.
Me
Night
too.
Court.
I love Night Court growing up,
and it's weird because I love Night Court, and it seems like every person I mentioned to loves love Night Court, but no one really talks about it.
No.
Like,
Night Court was that show that everyone liked, but it was like the last one on that Thursday night run, so it was like.
Well, because I actually watched a little retrospective on the original one, how it really didn't find its footing kind of until the middle of the third season. And then when it got good, that's when they moved it after Cheers.
Well, it was Cosby Show, Family Ties, Cheers, and then Night Court.
Night Court.
That was the run.
Yeah.
The historic show run that NBC had.
All right.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, I did always like do, Night Court. But
so it's been, what, has it been 30 years?
Yeah.
Close to it.
Since, yeah, and most of the original cast is no longer with us. Harry Anderson has passed. Marky Post has passed, and
Bull.
No, Bull's
still alive.
No,
he is.
He does mostly voiceovers.
The guy that played Mac.
Mac. He died while they were filming the pilot to this new one.
Really?
Yeah. No, Bull, he does a lot of voiceover. Like, he does Harvey Dent a lot, I know.
And then we lost John Larroquette. Didn't he pass away?
No, he's on the fucking show.
He's the star of the new show.
I thought I had heard he passed away after. He's okay?
He's fine.
Oh, well, that's good to know. I really thought I'd heard he passed away.
You need to nominate him as Awesome Villager and invite him to the show.
He's a local.
Yeah.
And apparently, for the longest, he was most famous for narrating the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They paid him in marijuana.
Is that true? I never knew that.
He was really funny in, what was that movie with Kim Basinger he did?
Blind Date. That movie is underrated and a classic. If you haven't seen it, go watch it.
Ryan got extremely excited.
It's Bruce Willis at his most hilarious.
But Blind Date is a lot funnier than the Night Court revival thus far. So we've had two episodes. I think the third one will actually be out before this episode airs. Yeah. But as we're recording it now, the first two have come out.
It sounds like Ryan's not going to make it to a three episode. He did a 3-minute rule.
So it stars Melissa Rauch from The Big Bang Theory. She plays
Abby Stone.
Yeah, Abby Stone, the daughter of Harry Stone. It's kind of unclear. In an interview, she mentioned she was supposed to be Harry and Christine's daughter. But they don't mention.
I heard they didn't mention Christine at all in the pilot.
They really didn't. I mean, it's only been one of the problems, and we'll get into kind of what works and what doesn't. But it's a network show, so it's got commercials. So the pilot was what, 23 minutes about, and a lot of stuff happens in this 23 minutes, and you got to meet all the returning characters. The returning character, I should say, is John Larroquette is back as Dan Fielding. You meet the new main character, Abby Stone. Then you meet everyone that works in the court, and then there's like a conflict. I don't want to give away any spoilers, really, but everything's resolved in 23 minutes. It's insane, the pace of this first episode. The second one kind of just gets into kind of like how the first one was, how there wasn't an overarching story or anything. It was just kind of the episode is based around the guest stars they had. Yeah. And, you know, you had your regular court staff. And because recently I started watching the old one, and I think it was the second or third episode.
How many times does Brent Spiner show up?
Oh, Michael J. Fox, extremely young Michael J. Fox, was in it. So this new show, the things that work is John Larroquette and Melissa Rauch. They're good. They have good chemistry. They play their characters well.
And the only problem I had with Melissa Rauch, which isn't really a problem with her, is if you just know her from The Big Bang Theory, her character, Bernadette, in that show, has got a very high-pitched voice, which is not what Melissa Rauch's voice normally sounds like. So when she talks, it's a little off-putting, because it doesn't seem like that voice should be coming out of her, but it's not her fault, that's just what she sounds like.
Ryan, what problem did you have with it?
It sucks.
Well, it's really one character I had a major problem with.
I had a problem with almost everybody except for the two of them.
I remember John. All of them. Sorry.
Because it was Dan and Abby, but you also have a bailiff. I'm trying to think of the comedian's name that plays her. But the problem with this bailiff, in the original one, you had Roz was on there for the longest, and you had Bull. And it's like they tried to combine Lucretia is her name, the actress's name. Or is that Lucretta. They kind of tried to combine Roz and Bull into one character, where she's kind of the bumbling idiot, but she's also the kind of straight person, and it doesn't work. It's not funny. It's annoying. She does these they're supposed to be funny voices, but they just, I didn't laugh, and I don't know. She just was not funny. The actress that plays the DA, her character's name is Olivia.
I don't know, but she was not very good.
She wasn't very funny, but that might be by design, just because she's supposed to be the kind of antagonist,
I
guess.
Greg was the only other person who knew this. She was the girl in Crime Man, dude.
And
the Flaming Sword of Fire.
Clerk, his character's name is Neil. He's Kapil Talwalkar. He was fine. I mean, he didn't really do anything annoying.
They're all annoying.
To me, at least. it's just, like, it's, this show, it's very old-fashioned. It's a massive hit. I just think that the people that are going to keep this on, it's the same crowd that kept NCIS the number one show for all those years. It's just something kind of safe and that you can kind of just put on and not really laugh, but kind of smile once in a while?
No, not for me. I watched 5 minutes. I think 5-10 minutes, you know what you're about to get into. And the laugh track, the cheesy dialogue.
It's old fashioned.
The preposterousness of the whole thing. Like the first case of a fortune teller being put on trial because she said she's 100% accurate. And the judge being like, well, how do we know she's not 100% accurate? I'm like, all right, that's it. I can't do this. I can't.
But I will say, I went back and started watching the old ones, and especially that first season. It's a lot like
that. You may be right, but nowadays, that's not going to fly.
You're right.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Turned it off.
I watched it, I will watch, I'll do the three, but I mean, I thought it was terrible. I really did. I mean, like I said, I thought Melissa Rauch and John Larroquette were good. I mean, I don't even want to say good. They were fine in it. I didn't have a problem with either one of them, but it was all the other characters, and it was Disney Channel acting, like painful Disney Channel acting.
Yeah. Like if the Disney Channel was even worse than it is, that's what this was.
It made you almost turn into Schwarzenegger just now.
It was bad.
That's what it was.
Apparently John Larroquette's son did the music.
I don't care. That show sucked the joy out of my life.
Well, it has the same theme song, but it's only 9 seconds long because shows don't have theme songs.
I know, right? They don't have the time.
Yeah.
Well, Netflix has another revival that I think I might be the only person that got to watch.
That 90s show?
That 90s show.
I never saw that 70s show.
I loved that 70s show. And this was one where I was like interested but worried, extremely worried. It's 10 30-minute episodes. So we literally just watched it in an afternoon. We had watched like the three or four of them before the Davises got there, and after the Davises left, we watched the rest of them. Now, the pilot episode, at first there was a couple of things where I was like, there's a neighbor character that I was like, oh, she's a little bit much. But they kind of figure it out by the second or third episode. And I was pleasantly surprised at how good this show actually is.
So who, other than Red and Kitty, are the other characters in it?
Well, Danny Masterson can't be in it.
No. He is not in it.
Well, I assume he wouldn't be in it.
But you have appearances by everybody else.
Is it because John Travolta beat the living fuck out of him in Face Off, or because he's a sex
offender? It's because of the rape.
Well, it's probably a little of both.
Okay, Roethlisberger'd his way.
Well, let me ask you this. Why did John Travolta beat the shit out of him in Face Off?
Because he was very rapey.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why he got caught this time, because he didn't apologize and he didn't mean it.
I'm fine with that, but you know how he should be punished, right? We go get that knife,
stick it in his thigh,
and
twist, the blade,
twist it so the wound won't close.
And then we don't stop twisting it until he tells us where Shelley Miscavige is.
Yeah, we gotta save that poor woman.
But isn't he like OT8 or something? Like he can heal that.
You think he's clear?
I don't know.
Well, he's clear, all right.
So he
the law hasn't cleared him yet.
So they can heal like Wolverine?
Apparently, that's one of the things they have. You know, that's like the magical underwear from other religions.
Is that why Tom Cruise doesn't age?
Apparently, mm-hmm. It's all the Thetans are gone.
Tom Cruise might have elevated himself to like some kind of like weird alien status.
OT-103.
Yeah, but you know, this guy's still in the rape status of Scientology.
The rape status.
I know that was one of the L. Ron Hubbard teachings.
It may be, but Tom Cruise seemed to have skipped over that, at least far as we know.
Well, he's definitely not in the show, but you did get appearances by, and really well, you like this is one where I was worried about the nostalgia factors. A little bit of it in the pilot, but it kind of lives on its own, and the same things that I loved about that 70s show, you find in here. Like, there's little slight nods. It's not an overdone, let's make this all about the 90s. And the characters, like, the lead character is Eric and Donna's daughter, Leia. And what basically happens is they come for 4th of July to visit, and Leia's a very good combination of both her father and mother. And Eric's paid for them to go to space camp during the summer. And she's like, and she runs into this neighbor who, like, is really cool, and she finally has a friend, and so she asks if she can stay the summer with Red and Kitty. And Kitty's all excited because the house has been dead since all the kids have moved on, and she hasn't had anything of interest, and Red's just kind of enjoying no dumbasses. But it very quickly this show was a lot of fun. It was better than it had any right to be. I really, really enjoyed it,
cool.
And I was not expecting to. So I really like you watch the old one, John. Right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think you'll get a kick out of it. The use of Leo is very good. The use of all the characters, and when they pop up, it becomes really appropriate.
Leo's in it.
Leo's in it.
Oh, nice.
And it's so funny because Leo looked old in the other one.
Leo.
And it's like, so 20 years have passed, and he's like, I'm 70 years old, man. It's like, oh, God, it's just, it's a really, really good show.
Good stuff.
Now, Glenn got to watch something that I actually have seen at least the first two episodes of, Mayor of Kingstown.
Yeah, I will say, I've only seen the first maybe three episodes of this. I just started watching it. I saw that season two had premiered, and I've heard lots of good things about it, so I said, this might be fun to start watching, so I put it on. I didn't realize, and maybe it's just me, I didn't realize this was a Tyler Sheridan show, which when it started, I'm like, oh, this is in the Tyler Sheridan verse, and I know a lot of people have been talking about whether there's going to be a crossover between Yellowstone and Tulsa King. I could see this being a crossover with Tulsa King more than Yellowstone.
Maybe, but they all take place in the same time.
Yeah, yeah. But this is Jeremy Renner. He plays Mike McCluskey. He's the middle of the three McCluskey brothers. Their mother is Miriam, played by Diane Wiest.
The brothers McCluskey.
Yes, which I never thought I'd ever hear Diane Wiest drop as many F-bombs as she does.
Oh, yeah,
in
that's,
show.
Yeah.
But, so the show, this is a cool concept of the show. It takes place in a fictional town of Kingstown, Michigan. And the kind of thing with this town, it's kind of a small town, but it has seven prisons in it. So pretty much the whole town's revenue comes from prisons. So most of the people in Kingstown, they're either working for the prison or bail bonds company or something like this. So the McCluskey brothers, well, two of them, Jeremy and then Jeremy Renner and then what's his name, plays his older brother.
Kyle McLaughlin.
Oh crap. Kyle Chandler.
Kyle Chandler plays his older brother, Mitch.
Nice job, Greg.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for the confidence.
So, yeah, the older brother, Mitch, everyone calls him the mayor of Kingstown because he's kind of this low-level, I don't want to say
criminal. He's almost like Red from Shawshank Redemption if he was on the outside.
It would be somebody Red would work. No, because he works, he's called, I guess his technical title is a consultant, but if people's family members are incarcerated, they go see him if they want to smuggle something into him.
And this is the Kyle Chandler character?
Yes, yes, okay. Yeah. He's called the mayor of Kingstown. He prides himself. He doesn't charge a whole lot of money. He's trying to keep the peace between the incarcerated people, the people on the outside, and the guards. So everyone comes to see him if they've got a problem and they need someone, like a third party, to deal with it. There's this local drug dealer that knows a lot of people on the inside. If he needs to barter a truce between two, you know, rival gangs, he'll do this thing where he'll throw tennis balls over the yard full of drugs, or he'll help people out with stuff with the guards, and it's just, he's a very complicated cat. He's got friends on the outside, the inside. He knows criminals. He knows cops. He just is. He barters things. And he gets approached by this woman that has her husband, I think it's her husband, is on the inside, and he had ripped these people off of $200,000, and it's hidden somewhere in the woods, and she wants to kind of get the money back so they don't kill her husband. And I'm not going to get into the whole plot, but things don't go very well.
What, right. Where is this at?
It's on Paramount Plus. And,
oh, so it's the same.
This show, it's very gritty, it's very adult, make sure your
and
kids are not
very
around.
Well acted,
and it's extremely well acted. Jeremy Renner is so good.
He really is
in the show.
Well, he used to be.
I think he's still a good actor, man.
Well, we'll see.
Why did he say that like he's on the newsroom?
It sucks. It's what happened to him, man.
I
don't know if he's going to be able to act again.
He's in physical therapy.
Yeah, he's recovering.
It's going to be rough.
He's got both legs.
Well, that's good.
And I mean,
it's a miracle he didn't die.
He broke
and he grew a nice pair of boobs.
He never said anything. Just a news
he
report.
He really didn't.
A news report had come out that they were going to have to amputate one of his legs. And then I think it was a couple of nights ago, he posted something on Twitter or in Instagram about his physical therapy. And they showed the physical therapist working with him. And he had two legs. He just mentioned that he had over 30 broken bones, and he's really messed up, and it's going to be a while before he's back. And I think Chris Evans
commented, "You're one tough MF," or anyone check on that snow cat. So,
you said there's two seasons?
Yes, the second season just premiered.
Oh, well, that's good then.
Yeah. So, but I really, like I said, I'm only three episodes in. It's very good.
And the thing is, I just kind of, I got sidetracked and didn't finish the first season. So I'm kind of excited that we can kind of watch this at the same time.
Right, yeah.
So we can chat about it. Because, yeah, it's a really good show.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Hunters.
The fuck is that?
Hunters. So Hunters is a show
John's mentioned this repeatedly.
On Amazon Prime, and it finally just came back.
That from like years ago?
It was like 3 years ago, and then COVID, they didn't make the second season.
And
they finally came back and did the second season, and it's the second and final season.
Those Jewish hunters going after the Nazis.
Yeah, in the 70s.
Yeah, I remember that.
Fuck you, Greg. It's a good show. It's a lot of fun. It feels like something that would be like a Tarantino type thing. It kind of has Inglourious Bastards feels
a bit,
to it.
Yeah.
Did you watch the first season?
I don't remember if it was so long ago. I don't remember if I finished it, but I remember I thought it was pretty good. It was dark, but not like.
But it was almost kind of funny. Sometimes.
I know, like strangely, it was light at the same time. It was a very unique tone.
Yeah.
But I remember I was enjoying it.
And I mean, this takes place like 2.5 years later.
I guess that's fitting then.
Yeah, and it is kind of weird seeing Logan Lerman with like a beard and kind of like long hair. He kind of like has the facial appearance of Kurt Russell in The Thing. He's got like his hair looks like that with the beard.
Who was the main guy in this again?
Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Wow. And like so the last movie, I mean the last season took place I think in 19 I forget what, it was the year in the 70s, and then this new season is a lot of flashbacks, and so it's some of it is 2 years later and some of it is 2 years before. Okay. And the dates keep flashing so you know kind of when it is. Jennifer Jason Leigh joined the cast. And Adolf Hitler is in it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tarantino was right.
He apparently escaped, and they have a whole big thing about how he escaped. And the guy that plays him, who is actually really good and really creepy, I can never remember this guy's name, but it's the guy with the weird accent from Ace Ventura. You know the guy that, like the billionaire. The guy that runs. It's like
his name's
like Udo.
He was
something.
In Blade.
Udo Kier.
Udo Kier.
Udo Kier. Yeah.
He was a. Damn it, Frost. Was that
yes,
guy?
Yes, it is him. Yeah.
So he's
90-year-old or 80.
Well,
plus
there's all these theories that like Hitler didn't kill and did escape. So that's kind of they've chosen to go that.
And he's
route.
In Argentina, which is where they think he would probably have gone, because that's where most of them.
I'm very curious about this. I have a massive list, and you guys all do, of different things I want to watch, and that's one of the things. The concept sounds really
well. I mean, and this is it's done now, and I want to say it's 17 episodes total.
Okay,
so I mean, it's
like the series is done.
Yeah, they said they were bringing it back. They really wanted to finish
just to wrap it up.
So they made it a second and final season.
Good for them.
Kaleidoscope. Who watched Kaleidoscope?
Unfortunately, I did.
Unfortunately,
I did.
Listening to
I
you,
I did too.
Dickhead. Actually, it wasn't that bad. But it wasn't as good as I was expecting. When you first told me about it.
I mean, I've only seen that first one, and I enjoyed it.
No, like, when you first told us about it and the whole concept, it really sounded pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's not bad. It's just not as good as the hype builds it up as it probably should be. I don't really, like, the whole gimmick of watching whenever you want, like, first of all, it plays in order. I don't know about you, when you watched it.
Well, you know what? I was talking to my nephew about it over the weekend, because he was saying he watched it, and he said it's supposed to be on every account, and when he pulled up his account or whatever on it, it was a completely different order.
Oh, well, mine seemed like it was following the order.
We checked it, the three of us, and
it was
the
same.
I wonder if it was because we're on your IP address.
Maybe, I don't know. But, I mean, my girlfriend and I watched the first, like, three, and then we were like, well, let's just skip around and see what happens. We watched, like, I think another one or two. It's okay. It's not bad, but I don't know. It's just there's not much to the characters, not much depth. They're very like on the surface as to what they are and who they like. Like if we would have written this and like, oh, this is the smart guy. This is the guy who does this. This is the muscle. That's sort of all it is. There's not much else to it.
That kind of makes me sad.
And I didn't watch the white episode.
Giancarlo Esposito is really good in it. I mean, he is.
Okay, so I just pulled mine up on the. So which episode? The orders?
Green was the second one.
I got black, yellow, green, blue, orange, violet, red.
Black's the first one, but it sounds like yellow is Star Trek.
But black is only 1 minute long, and it just explains what the show is going to be.
So I got yellow, green, blue.
Yeah, green was my first, so yellow is yours.
Okay, so so I had black, and then I had green and yellow.
I got yellow, green, blue.
It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
But But anyway, the way Karen and I did it, it was after we watched Green was the first one that it gave us, so we watched that one, and then we just kind of had episodes 2 through whatever, and we just did a random number, and then we just made sure we watched the white one last. And it, I feel like they spent too much time on the gimmick, like they like how we can make this where you can watch whatever episode and you won't be lost, and they should have just did it in order and added more depth to the characters. But
yeah, and like
it wasn't bad. It just could have been better.
And I was. One of the things, like, when we decided to jump ahead to whatever episode we wanted, we decided to watch the one right before the white episode on our list, which, for the way I could see it tracking, it looked like ours was playing chronologically, as far as I could see. And the one we watched before the final one sort of told you what happened to everybody, kind of. And I don't know if the white episode, which is the actual heist, reveals maybe some flash forwards or stuff.
Not so much flash forwards, but like there's some stuff that kind of happens to people, and you see in an episode that's after, but you don't kind of know exactly how that happened to them and how they ended
up
there.
There's a scene where one character is walking, and it's sort of the screen is slowly fading to black, and then it goes black, and you hear a gunshot.
Yeah.
But you don't see it. So if you don't see it, you don't know if it really happened. Right. So there's stuff like that. It's okay. I wouldn't say it's awful. I wouldn't like. Tell people stay away from it or anything, but just temper your expectations.
There is an episode in it that's you know how Giancarlo Esposito talked about the guy that he hated, whatever it was, Rufus Sewell's character, whatever. There is an episode that's like 20 years before, and it's when they were like partners, and Rufus Sewell just made his hair all black instead of having some gray in it. Otherwise, he looked the same. But Giancarlo Esposito, they did something to make him look younger, and it wasn't digital. It was some sort of weird makeup and maybe a facial prosthetic, and it was very weird to see. Like, it looked like he was going to, like, if he got under, like, a hot light, he was going to melt.
Hmm. So you just watched the first episode?
I've only seen the first. I haven't got a chance to get back to it.
Watch it, though. I mean, it wasn't bad.
I will. I'll give it a chance. It kind of seems like I might not give Night Court a chance. But kind of as we've been going in, like, we wanted something quick. Like, we've been moving a lot of stuff into the house, so it hasn't been, you know, like, we have a lot of time to do it. And then watch that 90s show. But we had started before the move watching Titans on HBO Max. So we got back into the third season, which was where we kind of left off.
Did that get better? I wasn't a big fan of the first season.
The first season. So did you watch the full first season?
I just watched maybe the first four or five episodes.
It does get really a lot better. It's kind of once they kind of get some of the,
because before it was just sort of like it was gritty for the sake of being gritty, like having, you know, fuck Batman, but it really is.
Did
you say fuck that man or fuck Batman?
Fuck Batman.
Oh. Like Robin Chisholm, it's like fuck Batman. Oh, and it's like they were just throwing in curse words just to make it great.
Yeah, I don't like that already.
You don't like that he says fuck Batman, or just don't?
The way he's describing it.
That's kind of maybe a good assessment to kind of let you know. Like at the beginning of it, they're trying to separate themselves from what you would normally expect, but by the end of it, once all the characters are kind of together, they get. There's actually a backdoor pilot in one of them for Doom Patrol.
Okay.
And there's a couple different things, but the second season's really fucking good.
Okay.
And then the third one we just started. I heard the fourth one. Titus Welliver plays Lex Luthor.
Oh, good casting.
Yeah. I'm very excited, but Willow.
It's over.
Yeah. The first season's ended.
I specifically waited because I didn't watch it when it first started, so I was just like, well, fuck it. I'll just wait until it's close to ending, and I'll just binge the whole thing.
So from Mardi Gras movie to Mardi Gras series.
More like Mardi Gras movie to Mardi Gras massacre. I mean we've talked about the original Willow movie before, how we all love it, and I really loved that movie. Like, I thought it was great, so maybe my expectations were high, but I don't think that's what it is. So we talked about the story in the first couple episodes of
the last when I talked about it initially, the first two in.
Yeah. And Glenn has, you know, the ingenious rule he came up with, the 3-episode rule. So I went into it fully, and my girlfriend kept telling me, why aren't you listening to Glenn? And I was just like, it's because it's Willow. It's the only reason I said I'm not stopping. I want to see how this ends, because I wanted answers to questions that they sort of, I wanted answers from the movie. Like, what happened to certain characters? Where are they? And, yeah, this is like a CW show. Times 12, like the, and then it's like it borrows from Lord of the Rings and a lot from Harry Potter and Star Wars. Like it borrows from lots of different elements, And I'm sure the original movie did too, but it didn't feel like it did. It felt like
there's an argument to be made that Harry Potter borrowed from
Willy. Obviously. But I'm just saying, I mean, he's not wrong. No, he's not wrong.
This guy.
But just the way that this show is done, it makes it feel like it's sort of just borrowing from all these other universes. And Willow didn't feel that way, even though it kind of was. It felt like it was its own world. But, like, this show is confusing where they're going and why they're trying to get there.
Well, you know why they're trying to. They're on a mission to find somebody.
Yeah, but that's not what Willow's trying to do.
Well,
so it's like I don't know, the whole stuff with Allura.
I really like the girl that played Allura.
Like, yeah, she was good. I mean, I can't really say too much. There's some bad dialogue. I mean, some really fucking bad dialogue. Like, there's a character named Borman, where somebody says, "No wonder you're called Borman." And I'm like, really? Somebody's writing this and saying this. Nobody
got paid to write that.
Nobody stepped up and said, "We probably should change this line." There's some good acting. Like
the guy that played Borman, I thought he was good.
I mean, in all honesty, like, a lot of these actors are just doing the best of what they got. I did not feel like there was enough Warwick Davis. I thought about Greg a little bit when I was watching it, because
go on.
Did you find Warwick Davis was a little bit like Luke Skywalker in Last Jedi, where he wasn't as cheery and positive as he was in the movie?
Well, he was when he got drunk.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Was it green milk?
No, but like he was so positive and protective of Allura in the movie,
and then
he really just bitches at her constantly, and he keeps like referring to this horrible shit that happened, and for some reason his whole village lives underground and we don't know why that is, and apparently he did something wrong, but they didn't really tell us yet why that happened. So it's like,
I was with you. I thought I had missed something, and when it got to the end and we didn't find out a couple of things, and then I saw an interview with Warwick Davis, and he said when they found out that they didn't have Val Kilmer because of the health stuff, but he would, you know, season two, he was in. They kind of said, all right, well, let's save some of the stuff for season two so we have access to Val.
Wait. Val Kilmer is going to be in season two?
We don't know.
He said that it needs to get greenlit for season two, and which they're swinging for the fences because they totally left it as a cliffhanger for season two.
Yeah.
But Val Kilmer said he's, you know, now that COVID's kind of not as prevalent as it was, because his doctors wouldn't let him, because they filmed this like in Iceland or something, and his doctors wouldn't let him go. But he really wanted to.
Has his throat improved any? Or
all right, well, so there's a voiceover of Mad Mardigan in the show, and it's his son.
Okay,
and it sounds great.
It sounds just like.
But
and I loved that scene, by the way.
Yeah, it was really cool. But like, there's a lot of like storylines that could be just resolved with like a paragraph of dialogue that they purposely just don't say, like. The girl who's Mad Mardigan's daughter is asking characters who know him, what happened to my father? And like Borman, instead of just saying it, he's like, he starts an elaborate story that has nothing to do with Mad Mardigan constantly. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like,
well, you see, I thought, and this was just me, by the way, I thought Borman, they kind of set him up where he was just kind of bullshitting most of this stuff. And I don't think he knew what happened.
But then you find out he encounters a character who apparently both of them knew him.
Yeah, they were all together.
So it's really...
Then that fifth episode was really weird, where they showed how Borman escaped and there was like a shampoo commercial in the middle of it.
I just didn't
John
feel...
John looks very affected by this.
I mean...
I only saw up to the fourth episode.
It's just, there's a lot of it that... There's no real conclusion by the end of it. I mean, they sort of resolve... And I know a lot, like Lynn was talking about, like the whole like woke audience was about... There's like, you know, gay characters in it. That's not an issue, because it actually serves the story.
Well, you didn't like it, so clearly you
no, well, like the
you're
the,
a troll incel.
Mad Mardigan's daughter is gay, but she's being promised to a prince, which is part of the story. That makes sense. So I didn't have a problem with any of that. It fit the story, but that's the least of this show's problems. I powered through, but if you like CW shows, you might like this. It's just,
I think,
not
they went for more of a YA kind of
maybe
audience with this.
Not for me.
Okay.
Me and my wife had watched the first four, and when I asked her if she wanted to watch the next, when she was ready to watch the next one, she was like, I mean, if you want, you could watch it without me. And I'm like, all right.
So I love Karen's methods.
Yeah.
She's very diplomatic. Yeah. Like, no,
I'm even good. She won't say she doesn't like something because she doesn't want to upset the Willow crowd.
She don't want to upset Warwick Davis.
Well, I don't think there's a. Is has there been a Willow crowd? I think
yeah, they're right here.
Yeah, the four of us.
Nice.
Am I the only one who watched The Last of Us?
No, no, I saw
it. I watched the first one. I didn't watch
the second one either.
I didn't see the second one. I watched the first.
Now, full disclosure, I've not played the video game ever. Me neither. And typically I have. I'll power through.
My girlfriend has.
Has she really?
And she said it's pretty...
Oh, I've seen side by sides.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, this is a fucking great show.
Yeah.
It's good.
I'm cautiously optimistic. Well, I thought the first episode was great.
I thought it was excellent.
I wasn't expecting the massive time jump that it gave us, like, which I thought was great for a pilot, because I was totally unexpected.
It just gave you the backstory before, you know.
But I wasn't like what happened in the beginning. Like, I wasn't expecting any of that, so I was really hooked, and I didn't realize we were already going to jump into this world and this universe and what's going on. So like, I thought it was going to be a slow progression. So I'm curious to see where it goes. I hope it doesn't turn into like a Walking Dead.
Well, I was telling John this. Everyone's comparing it to Walking Dead, obviously, but to me, it reminded me more of World War Z.
I got Children of Men vibes.
Those are all valid, I think.
My girlfriend said the same thing, World War Z.
Yeah. The Children of Men, I thought the same thing.
Oh, sorry, my fiance. Yeah.
We never did mention that. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, yes. Yeah.
On the air, friends of the show, congratulate Ryan as well.
Yes, thank you, guys.
Again, as someone who didn't play the game, who knows that there are fans of this game, like fervent fans. First of all, the concept to make it not a simple zombie show, the whole opening kind of describing and making it plausible, because apparently these are funguses that actually do exist.
The fungi. The one that plays his daughter is Tandy Newton's daughter, and I feel like she's little Tandy Newton.
Pedro Pascal. Can he do wrong at this point? Yeah. I just, him with HBO is a winner.
Yeah, I mean, the second Kingsman movie wasn't the best, but
he was good in it.
He was good in it.
Yeah, even like I wasn't a fan of Wonder Woman to the second one, but
he was good in it.
He was fine.
I mean, he was only Ryan saw this, but Narcos. I mean, Pedro Pascal was awesome in that.
He's awesome.
Ryan's coming back.
For those who don't know, what's the show about, Greg?
The show is essentially about, it follows this main character who, it shows at the beginning of this, like, zombie apocalypse. Now, you don't kind of know it reminded me of Cloverfield, or like 10 Cloverfield Lane at the beginning. Where you're seeing the effects of what's going on, and you're not really hearing, you know, what's said. But he's like this guy who just kind of does, contracting work and things like that. And he's got this kind of weird life, and he lives in this little community with his daughter. His brother helps him, in Texas. And basically, like, you know, it's like it was his birthday, and his daughter's trying to make something special for him. And as things are developing, you're hearing all this stuff happen in the background. This next-door neighbor, the girl goes over, she's all afraid, and the grandmother is eating the people. And
it's kind of similar to the Zack Snyder Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, like so there's this like whole very clear, and her dad comes to get him, and they're trying to escape Austin, and in the process of them doing that, like the military is just bombing, you know, Austin and everywhere around it. They're watching houses on fire and everything like that, and during the escape, something tragic happens, and it basically then has to flash forward 20 years later.
Because all this happened in 2003, and then it flashes to
present day,
to 2023,
and. Basically, it puts us into the present day where we're actually living in this world that's kind of now established. So we got a kind of picture of like what the world was before, and now we see this world where basically there's quarantine zones and, you know, there's stages of infection. And throughout the course of the pilot, you kind of catch up with Joel is the character.
Yeah. Joel Miller.
Joel Miller. And kind of what he's up to now. He's living in this community, kind of doing like a sort of Merrick Kingstown type thing.
Yes. He's right.
He's, you know, trying to achieve... basically getting this truck together to go pick up his brother who's part of this like resistance that's
all right. So yeah, he's in Boston and he needs to get to Wyoming, right? Yeah.
And you know, so there's all this kind of risk. You can get executed if you leave the quarantine zone. And throughout them like trying to get back this guy screwed him over for this truck battery. So they're trying to get it back and they stumble upon this resistance that his brother was working with. And they have this girl who apparently survived being infected.
She's the
She's immune. Or right. That appears to be immune.
So they were like, basically, look, we'll get you the truck you need to go find your brother. You just got to get her out of here. And the first episode kind of ends there. Bella Ramsey plays, you know, the girl in question. And she's, as usual, she was Lady Mormont and pretty amazing.
And this was from the creator of Chernobyl.
Yeah, great show.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see, like, three-episode rule on this.
I think I'll watch
this. I don't think I even need a three-episode rule on this one.
And we should admit, Gabriel Luna plays his brother. He was the one that was in the latest Terminator movie. He was really good,
too. We won't hold that against him.
You didn't like Dark Fate?
No.
The one with Arnold?
Yeah, it's terrible.
And Linda Hamilton?
Yeah, terrible.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a lot better than the
last one. Oh, it was, but it still sucked. That tells you how bad Genesis was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Genesis was... I was thinking of Genesis when you said that. I was like, yeah, it was shitty. No, I like Dark Fate.
Yeah.
It was solid. Yeah. There's no fate, but we make for ourselves.
It was a solid turd, as opposed to Genesis, which was very loose and watery.
All right, well...
So we're using the...
loose stool.
So we're using
the feces. Fecal skin. Analogies.
Yeah, fecal analogies.
We can.
That'd be a good title for this episode.
Fecal analogies. I'm going to write that down. Fecal...
Oh, and Anna Torv. I haven't seen her in a while. She's really good in the show, too. She was in... she was the star Fringe back in the...
She was in Mindhunters.
That's where I recognize her.
It kind of threw me off, too, because she looked like the... I can't remember the name of the actress who played Ben Affleck's sister in Gone Girl.
Mm. Yep.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Carrie Coon.
Yeah, Carrie Coon. There you go. But, yeah. Now, I think I might be the only person that watched The Mayfair Witches.
Yes.
Okay.
I plan to. I was just waiting for a few to be out.
Well, I can tell you this, like, as a person who's an Anne Rice fan and a Daddario fan, and, you know, definitely, I was very excited to see this. The Mayfair Witches is based on a series of books that started with The Witching Hour, which is the name of the first episode. That it's in paperback form. It was 1,038 pages, and I read
it. Which is why I never read it.
I read it in a day. We were at my grandmother's house.
And Jesus.
I was all, like, all the kids were playing and doing it, and I was so intrigued by the book. They were all like, I just out in the yard, like, having fun. It was like a cookout or something, and I sat in this room and I just read the book cover to cover.
All laughs. Well, you're at the family cookout reading the fucking
or the book was that fucking good.
A good point. I guess that could be it.
I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make.
Almost read the whole thing.
Fuck. But this does a lot.
1,000-page book in
1,038 pages. Yeah,
1,038.
Damn.
I mean, I read all the Harry Potter books in 2 weeks.
Well, I can see that because they're quick reads. But Anne Rice's books,
they're dense.
They're dense.
Well, this one too.
That shit's single spaced.
Did you want a finishing Interview with the Vampire?
No, I got two more.
Oh, damn. Well, kind of what you like about that show? How, you know, it's faithful, but it's different from the book. Yeah. That's what this is too. It basically follows. There's a family in New Orleans that they're kind of known to be something's off with them, and the community, like, whispers that they're witches. And basically, the family is matriarchal, so all the women in the family have this connection to this being called Lasher. Now, one of them, who we meet in the first episode, has had this daughter, and basically the daughter, they were told that the daughter passed away. Turns out that she was adopted, and they sent her to live in San Francisco. And that character is Alexandra Daddario's character, Rowan. And basically the first episode is establishing kind of what this world is gonna be like, and kind of the family and how it works. And whereas Interview with the Vampire is more of like the gorier aspects of horror and the fun that goes along with it, this is very suspenseful, and I found some very, like, real creepy jump scare moments to it. Very pleased with this. The two episodes we've saw, the way that the second episode ended, I'm like, shit, what's the next? We need to get the next episode in. It introduces a bunch of staples from the Anne Rice world, like the Talamasca, a whole bunch of great things. And, of course, Daddario's in it, so John and I are sold already. Well, what's funny is we're now at the end of our television shows, and we've been talking a great length of time. So we've done it again.
We talk a lot.
We really do. It's fun, though.
Our tangents are fun.
At least for us. I mean, you get to learn a lot of stuff, fecal analogies and such. So
was this episode? Where was this episode rank on the fecal scale?
I would say, you know, it's not watery at all. It's definitely not, like, you know, diarrhea, but it's not a constipation. turd either.
We're going to have you write this out.
You see, and it's when you got a fecal scale like that, I mean, it's not like a 1 to 10 where, like, one end is the best and the other end is not. I mean, it's like...
It's all shit.
Right in the middle is
the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Three seashells.
It's like the pH balance.
Yeah.
That's right.
But it's also got to be a smooth enough turd to where it doesn't break off on your ass and then you wipe in your ass.
Oh, and you got nuggets.
Yeah, you don't want that either.
This is a shitty conversation, gentlemen.
Quite literally.
All right, this has been Greg.
Ryan.
John.
Go on.
We will see you next week.